1974, that when I came home for lunch, Nancy came to me and said, "Honey, I've got to tell you something." And that look in her eyes, you know, and it could be most anything. But what she told me, it didn't surprise me, but what she told me got me thinking. And what she said was, I don't know whether you're going to like it or not, but this morning I received my tongues. I have a prayer language. And so I said, you know, big deal. Okay, that's fine. Let's eat. And so we ate, and that was about all that it went. It was no big deal because, tell you the truth of the matter, I was very upset when she told me she had it because I had asked for this too, because I had believed that it was in the Bible. I had preached a series of sermons about the relations to the spirit things. And so when she told me she had received her tongues, it made me quite angry, because why would she get hers when I had asked for mine and I had not received mine? And some of you are nodding your heads like you have been in the same boat. But to back up, it was May, it was 7 years ago, that this happened to her, and it followed a series of sermons, some of you might remember, on the energy crises in the American church, where during the month of November and December, I spoke 9 sermons from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and chapter 12, dealing with the spiritual gifts of the church. And I knew that back in the fall, before that series of sermons, Nancy had received what is called a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, she had been baptized in water before, but this time she was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And this was something that I could see such a change in her life that it must be for real. And so there were some other people in the church that started asking questions about, what is this? What are these spiritual gifts that the Bible speaks about? So because of that, I started the series of sermons on the energy crisis in the American church. Then the following May, which was 1974, Nancy received her tongues. And then from that point on, a lot of things started happening in my mind and in my life. To begin with, when I got to that part of the series of sermons about speaking in tongues, I borrowed every book I could find on the subject. And I am a speed reader, and so I went through these books lickety-split, even more confused than I was before I started. But I came to this conclusion that speaking in tongues was real, that intelligent, normal people did it, and you could do it if you wanted to. So when Nancy received her tongues, I said to myself, well, that's good. She got it. I haven't received it. Therefore, it's not, just like I thought, for everybody. It's just for a few. In the next month, June, I was preparing what we call a catacomb service. Anybody here who was at the catacomb service? Okay, we all met in the social hall. Our youth director at that time made a gigantic rock out of paper mache. It was sprayed. We had candles. And the old kitchen had not been repaired at the time. And so the faucet was dripping, and it really gave the good sound effects. You can listen to the tape even today, which is 7 years later. And in the catacomb service, I explained to the people what had happened to me just a few days before. Now, what happened to me a few days before was I was on my way to my outdoor office, which is on the top of a mountain in Hunter Liggett at that time, known only to me and to the Lord, and a few people who would fly overhead in helicopters. I was there wanting very much to receive the baptism with its manifestations because I believed that anybody could have it if they wanted it. The question of tongues was very confusing to me. And what I would like to digress and say for a moment is that it's important that you as the family here know that there are two kinds of tongues. There is the kind of a tongue that's used in prayer language, which many of you have. In fact, when The baptism with this manifestation was seen in our church 7 years ago. That first year, we had 48 people join the church in 1 year, which was the most that ever happened in our church. Most all of them brought in because of the moving of the Holy Spirit. The great majority of those people were young people who have had job transfers, and some were in the service, and others, older people, just moved away. But it was important for me then to say, as I say now, that there are two kind of tongues. Now, the prayer language tongue is the kind of a tongue that a person, a Christian, can pray anytime they want to. They just say, I want to bypass my intellect and pray in my spirit. And so at any time, a person can pray in their prayer language, an angel language, a heavenly language, or tongues, whichever you want to call it. The other kind of tongues is the kind of tongues that we call prophetic utterances, which need interpretation. Now, this kind of tongues, as you saw manifested last Sunday, is a tongue that's given by God prophetically, which needs an interpretation. The scripture says that anybody can interpret who has the Spirit of the Lord at that point giving them the interpretation. And it can be a man, it can be a woman. It's just that God is speaking through a man or through a woman, and it's interpreted that way. So there are two kind of tongues. The kind of tongues you pray whenever you want to, which is prayer language, which needs no interpretation. And the kind of tongues that happens to be prophetic utterances. Now, I recall many years ago in our church, we were having a prayer meeting in the old social hall in the library room, and there some people came in, and there were people praying near the door, praying in tongues. And they became very upset because there was no interpretation. So I explained to them that those tongues did not need interpretation because they were praying to God. It was not God speaking to man. So those two kind of interpretations on our tongue experience. The next week I went up to Dr. Bridges' cabin in Roraseco. And on the way up, I was determined that was going to be the day that God blessed me with my tongues, because I believe that many years ago I had been blessed by the baptism. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something that's been greatly misunderstood by a lot of people, even in our own church. If you're a Christian, would you just lift your hand and put it back down? Thank you. You have the Spirit within you, just as much as anybody else in the world. If you've asked Jesus in your heart, you are a Christian, and the Word of God says that He has placed His Spirit in your heart. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not this second great experience, but it is the releasing of what you already have in your heart. So every one of you have got the Spirit. The baptism of a person in the baptistry before you is the act of my baptizing someone, putting them in the water, bringing them up out of the water. So baptism is the releasing of that Spirit that's within you. It's something that you've got that you don't know. It's like the guy who borrowed the new Toyota pickup truck, and his friend said, it's got three gears, here's how you shift them, because they were not indicated on the shift knob. When the young man got out in the open, he found out that there were four gears in his car. And he returned to the man and he said, hey, you didn't know this, but the pickup you loaned me has four gears. Well, there are things that we've got in us that we don't know, and that is the releasing of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's real, and it changes your life. It doesn't make you any better than anybody else, but it just does something to you. The insert in the bulletin will help as you read that at home. Well, let me get back to that drive up to Hunter Liggett. I was so determined that I was going to receive tongues that I was a little angry with God. This is going to be it, God. Then I realized that I've been told that to receive the baptism with the manifestations of tongues, your hands have got to be in the air. Here I'm driving a car. How will my hands get in the air? Well, there was a straight stretch, and I said, well, why not? So, if you can picture your pastor driving his car with his knees and with his hands up in the air, I was praying that the Lord would please give me what I know is available for every single Christian in the world. And I was doing pretty good. I was tuned in with the Lord. My hands were raised. But lo and behold, there loomed up a curve. And so I had to put my hands back down on the steering wheel and negotiate the curve. Then it got straight. Then my hands got up. And you'll never know how many curves there are between that one cattle gate and where I was going. Then when I stopped at the cattle gate, I just said, Lord, this is enough. I believe the word of God is true. I believe if you ask, you receive. I've asked. I've received my baptism. My life has been changed. My ministry has been changed. My preaching has been changed. My love has been changed. I now want the one and not most important manifestation, which is the tongues. I want it right now, God. You hear me? And this is it. And I didn't get it. And I dug out and gravel shot everywhere and as I shot it down the road. I got up to the cabin, did a lot of studying, recorded some discouraged line tapes, did some other planning for the next month, worked on my sermons, preparing those. Then I laid down on an army cot. I was enjoying the hot sunshine, and I said, Lord, I'm going to ask again. First of all, give me the rushing mighty wind. And sure enough, the wind picked up, and it was rushing, and it was sounding through the pine needles. I said, Lord, you've done it. You are giving me a manifestation. Then Mr. Satan came to me and said, ha, it's what you think. The wind always comes up this time of the year up here at Aurora Seco. That's nothing but wind through needles. That's not the Holy Spirit. So I bought it. You're right on. You're right on. So I lay down there for a while with my prayer that I believe this would be important for my ministry and for the changing of lives because I'm one who's got to see things. I can't walk by faith too much. And in that stillness with the sun beating down on my skin, I really felt all of a sudden the warmth of a presence that was not Mr. Sun, but the Sun of righteousness. And my hands lifted up, I opened my mouth, and you have to speak the words. God's not going to make you speak these words. And my heavenly language came forth. And I praise God for that time, because from that point on, I publicly explained to you what was happening to your pastor, because some of you were probably wondering. I did not go underground with it, as some of my colleagues have done, but I wrote about it, I preached about it, and taped about it, and shared it with many groups. And so that's how it all started. And it was at this month, exactly this month, in fact this week to be more particular, that experience happened with our family. So I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I also believe that with the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes the speaking in tongues, which is Scripture. That is why we have done several things in our church. We have oil, which we anoint people with and pray for. We do it because the guidebook says it is to be done. Many people in our church, and more than you'll ever know, speak in tongues. They do that because they know the guidebook says you can do it, and there is indeed a blessing that comes from it. I know that, as I speak to you as a family, I have hurt some of you by speaking in tongues. Oftentimes, when we come to church and we praise God, and in fact, that's why what we're supposed to be doing here, in the praising of the Lord, and this is the sermon too, so don't get too edgy. In the praising of God, I have spoken in my tongues, in my prayer language, just praising God, and many of you have too. But in the last number of years, three times on the public address system, my tongues came forth. And let me tell you something about that. You recall once I asked people, if you have a need, lift your hand so I'll know who you are and where you are. I'd like to pray for you. I expected two or three people to lift their hands. Lo and behold, a multitude of people lifted their hands. I was overwhelmed to tears that there were so many people who wanted the reality of Jesus in their life and wanted a blessing. And so I said, the only way that I can adequately pray for you is to pray in my prayer language. So I did. The second of the three times, once I was just too close to this thing and it picked up. The third time, I ask the deacons and the deaconesses and the church officers to please come to the front. Starting off a new year, I want to lay my hands on them. I do that because it says here you must lay your hands on people so that the Spirit of God can be transferred to them. That's in the scripture. And I did that, and I prayed for them, but I prayed in my prayer language, and I have since heard that at least one person was offended. If there are others who were offended by that, I apologize. But it was the only way that I could really ask God's blessings upon these group of people who serve you as deacons, deaconesses, and church officers. So I guess that's where we are. And last Sunday was a manifestation of it. Prophetically, it had happened in other meetings. It had never happened at the 10:45 service. And I don't know why it waited so long, nor do I know if it'll ever happen again. But I promise you this, group one and group two, whoever, wherever you are, I promise you this. The scripture says that the Lord God will give you pastors according to his heart, who will feed you with wisdom and understanding. And then you would want a pastor who would follow the Lord and not anyone, nor tickle the ears of anyone. And so my speaking this morning, I will read the scripture I used last Sunday. Does this sound as if I'm trying to win man's approval? No, indeed. What I want is God's approval. Am I trying to be popular? If I were still trying to do so, I would not be a servant of Christ. So for you all, I say, I only am pleasing the Lord, and I'm becoming very unpopular, and I'm not making a lot of friends. But I think both of you in both groups of our church would prefer me to be honest with myself and with God than try to be a pleaser of men. So the bottom line is simply this. It comes down to the fact that we come to church for a purpose of letting God be alive in our heart. And even this old stiff song that we just sang has a lot of theology in it that's relevant to our day. Now, I've been asked to have two services, people. Have a morning service that's traditional and have a morning service that's non-traditional in the terms of praise service. And I feel that at this particular time in our life, of our church, that having two services would not be right. For this reason, if we had an 8:30 praise service and a 10:45 traditional service, which group would get the 10:45 hour? And if we did have two services and even shifted back and forth, let me ask you a very important question. Which one would you come to right now? I'm not going to ask you out loud, but answer me in your mind. Which one would you come to? Now, have you answered that in your mind? Shake your head if you have. Okay. Now, the second question is, would your husband or your wife or your children come to the one that you chose? Two services would further divide our small group because you would have to choose. And then family would be divided. Right now, praise God, we're all together. We're all together. And the bottom line is love. So let me conclude my sermon by reading these scriptures. And I've inserted my name instead of the person's name in the Bible. This is why I must be obedient to God. 2 Chronicles 31:20. This was Dr. Neal's policy all over King City. His actions were good and right and loyal before the eternal is God. Whatever he undertook in the interest of this church of God, the law and the commands of God, by way of worshiping his God, he did it with all of his heart and prospered. And Ezra 7:10, Neal has set his heart upon studying the law of God, upon obeying the law of God, and upon teaching it with its rules and regulations in King City. I am committed I am committed to the Lord to teach the Word of God. But you know what's the most important thing? You know it, say it. Love. And it is seen in our doing what we've been asked to do, and that is follow through with the Great Commission. We need to spend our energy in the pursuit of saving souls. King City is a most unchristian town. You know that for a fact. The gate is narrow that leads to heaven. And the church's responsibility, of which you are a part as a Christian, is to spread the good news about Jesus. 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 Let's stand and sing about Jesus.
Thank you.
As we stand and pray and praise, would you do that just wherever you are? If you want to give a prayer of praise, that encourages the heart next to you. Just speak out that prayer of praise, would you?